listening to Am I the Bullcast, the only podcast about Magic the Gathering that you're listening to right now. It's your boy, your host, Mike Carozza. You might know me from EDH Rec, the column Am I the Bolus. You might know me from my stand-up, but you might also know me from this podcast that you love very much. Thank you very much. This week, we're back as a team. It's another friggin' mailbag, baby.
Triple M style.
Triple M, M&M&M, baby. She's back on the mic. Super genius, super producer, Morgan Sanchez. Hi, Morgan.
What's up, Mikes? We're going to crush it today,
what's
y'all.
Cracking,
I'm feeling a little salty. I've got my saltines with me just in case.
Oh, okay. Somebody's tipping the hand a little bit here, huh? Just getting a little the title's going to say it anyway.
Some crunchy crackers. We love it.
I have to assume that this episode's title is going to give it away. But you know what else? We had to bring him back because obviously it's another mailbag. He's going to have a lot to say. Love to see it. Games Freak, S.A., a.k.a. Michael Solani. Hi, Michael.
I'm just a mailbag gremlin at this point. Like, I think I live inside one of those blue postal boxes. Like, someone shoved me in there once and I just can't get out.
It seems comfortable in there. Like, what's warm in the winter kind of gig, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Aren't they made of metal? Wouldn't they get, like, super duper cold, actually?
Ah, you're right.
It'd be like,
this you light it on fire, though.
Yeah.
Which is a crime, but also toasty. And also an oven.
I wonder if it's enough of a crime to be a felony. Probably, right?
I think it is.
We love the United States Postal Service and the other postal services around the world that helps things like Cards Fear happen.
This episode is actually sponsored by the U.S. Postal Service.
But
by
it's
way
not.
Of Cardsphere.com, our actual sponsor that Morgan very, very well did.
Thank you very much.
The segue was so good.
Thank you.
And then we lost it. We brought it back and now we lost it again.
Oh, no, we're still
Cardsphere.com.
Yeah.
OK, good. Cardsphere.com is our sponsor today and every day. Cardsphere.com. There's a release. There's a referral link in our bio in the episode description. And probably our bio. If you're on the link tree for us, you'll find it there. Cardsphere, get your cards here. It's an online trading platform. You get cards. Trust me when I say, if I'm missing a card I can't find, I'm going to go find it on Cardsphere. I'm looking for a card from like 20 years ago, and I can't find it at any LGS near me. I guarantee someone's got 20 copies online, ready to go, and four of those are in my cart. Sorry, Ken.
It
is so easy. I don't have a Cardsphere story of my own today because I've been away for some time and haven't done any magic shopping. Plus, Spider-Man's coming out and I'm waiting to find out about those singles being up there. Morgan, do you have anything for us this week?
Well, Mike, actually, Spider-Man singles are on Cardsphere right now. You can go check them out. We actually just had a blog post. I believe like earlier this morning, so you might not have seen it just yet if y'all have been at work and stuff, but it is ready for trade. So once you start opening up those packs, MagicCon Atlanta at the time of this recording is next week, which is Spider-Man release. So I'm hoping I'll be able to get me like maybe one or two collector boosties, open a Carnage, open a Venom, open a hot dog cart, open a bagel with a schmear and eat it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm stoked. I'm ready, you guys. So this set is not one of my favorites. I will be getting some singles off of Cardsphere, some of these cool like little showcase situations, the shiny stuff.
Yeah, 100%.
Otherwise, 100%. Like I'm not really feeling it, and I think that's okay, you guys. I think that I'm gonna have my hot dog cart and eat it too with my bagel and schmear.
I'm gonna go ahead and tell you this real quick. I think 100% that there's gonna be some sleepers from this set that people are gonna forget.
Okay,
and. Okay. They're gonna bemoan the fact that they never opened any Spider-Man because they weren't, quote, feeling it. And I'll tell you what, you're gonna be feeling it in the future. You're telling
me
that I hope that they really make use of this through the Omen Path stuff to like bring them back. But like you're telling me there's a card like Superior Spider-Man in the set? Okay, someone was cooking. Somebody was cooking when they were making this card. I'll tell you what. I'm excited for a lot of the singles in the set. I'm curious about the draft. I'm curious about the sealed. I'm doing a couple events this weekend. My buddy Ashley, who was on the episode last week, shout out. You guys, if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it. My friend Ashley just got into the game through Final Fantasy, so I have Universes Beyond to thank for bringing my friend into the game despite many, many years of trying on my end. And
love it.
Is she ever? We went to Command Fest Ottawa in by Face to Face. Shout out to Kelly for putting everything together. Had a great time. Saw Mr. Bevers, Commander Mechanic, Davey, Neo, MTG Mudsta, the Benoit, Logan, Seraph Six, you know, a whole house of folks that we just ended up having a wonderful time out there initially to celebrate Mudsta and his 100K subscribers online. But we also just ended up all being creators at the event, too. So that was pretty fun. Shout out to everybody. Toby, thank you for coming to play some games with me and waiting so long to get that game in. I promised you a shout out. So here it is. Everybody reading the articles and listening to the podcast that came up to me. That was so sweet. Really, really, I can't thank you enough. So we do have a killer episode here. And I have to say this now because you're gonna have to wait. We're still not done with sponsor talk. We're still not done with plugs and stuff. But I will say this. This episode, I'm so excited to get to it. Before we get to it, we do have to shout out our other sponsor, BoneboxGames.com. Use our promo code BULLCAST for a little something-something off. You get a little discount on your purchases. I 100% believe that BoneBox is doing something special with these deck boxes. The Tarot deck has served me very, very well. Decay has served me very, very well on this trip to Ottawa. And I am staring at my desk right now because I'm finally making the move for Lizolda in the baked goods.
Yes, deck girl. Box.
She's been chosen and she's going in, double sleeved and all. It's the real deal. Cannot wait to bring her around now that I'm more comfortable traveling with this deck. Anyway, that does it for sponsors. I will say that we're gonna do plugs off the top. Find me at Mike Carrozza, MikeCarrozza. Find the podcast at Am I the Bowlcast over on Blue Sky. Find me on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff too. My comedy album Cherubic is still available. My other podcast, Stay or Leave, and We Didn't Get a Rose, or keep an eye on those because the seasons are coming back. And yeah, check out my comedy wherever you can. I'm not going to be in Atlanta because it's scary to travel to the United States of America. But you know who is going to be in America, who might make an appearance at the Magic? I'm not sure. You got Morgan. Morgan, where can people find you? Where do you want people to check you out?
Yeah, I'm at Indigo Gentleman on Blue Sky. I am a professional yapper, as we were all discussing earlier. I love to talk about dumb gang, gang stuff and dumb stuff only, and occasionally magic, because I talk about magic all ding dong day. And I will always talk magic with you. The second you bring foils into the conversation, we'll be yapping for a hot minute. So just a fun fact. Ooh. There for anybody who wants to reach out. Especially if you want to talk about things like Cephalids and the set Odyssey, which is the best set of all time. We did have a poll pretty recently that did not place that at the top. I did have a talk with our content manager about that, and so that will be rectified the next time we do a poll. Wasn't it that manner?
Aether Drift and every Universes Beyond set at the top.
So those were the worst ones, but we did, I think, just do recently before that, like a best ones. And yeah, I was, I think, like two people picked Odyssey, and I would like to extend my love to those people. They're my favorite.
Yeah, because
it made me very happy.
The people who picked Odyssey, good for you.
Yeah.
For the best set.
Yeah.
Write in with your email, and Morgan will send you a free Odyssey Fetchland foil.
Uh-oh.
For having the correct opinion.
Fresh out of those. Fetchlands, not correct opinions.
What card?
Odyssey was where Fetchlands came from. You could get, like, Old Border, they're beautiful, or Old Border Fetchlands in foil, and they're like hundreds of dollars, but they're like so nice looking.
Those were on Slot, I believe.
That's on Slot.
Yeah. So
Ken, cut this out.
Close enough. You know what? They both start with an O, and that's just about as close as I would have gotten, y'all. So no worries. Odyssey Onslaught is the same. It's the same word. You can't tell me that's not the same word, not. You guys.
No, Odyssey is the one with the multicolored cards, right?
Yeah.
God. I completely.
There are gold cards in Onslaught, girl. There are.
That's true.
Gold cards in Odyssey.
Okay.
That's the one with the weird spider set symbol, right?
Yep.
Or is that the one that just came out?
No, No, that Onslaught is...
That was a great joke, Michael. I see you for that, and I love you for it.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
See, the best thing about this is I've completely confused Mike about whether or not I'm stupid or if I'm just confusing him on purpose.
I love it.
Look, all I know is that, like, you mentioned cut, like, multi-gold cards in Odyssey, and I'm over here like, yes, there are gold cards. They're mostly Atogs or, you know, like, Phantatog, Psychotog. You know, those guys, but a Togatog is from Odyssey, but like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Sorry, Ken. You just like, either way, Odyssey's a great set that has a lot going for it. And I'm looking forward to receivables getting to it. All right. So here's what I'm going to do. Michael, you got to tell people where to find you and also tell people about your new YouTube channel that's doing pretty freaking great.
Well, it's not a new YouTube channel. I've actually had it for 16 years. But
your new efforts on your YouTube channel.
That is more accurate. You could find all of
newfound my... Newfound fame.
It's not fame. You get one video. I upload How They Brew It now to my YouTube channel at GamesFreakSA. Yeah. And you could find a link to that and everything else I do at GamesFreakSA.info. Those are the letters SA, not the word SA, although... You know, it would be really fun to call a series Games Freaks Essays just to confuse the shit out of people, because that's all I do on the show.
Sorry, Ken.
I'll make a new series. Is he stupid or is he just trolling?
It's the same series.
It's both. It's like a superposition, you know? Right. It's the Schrodinger's cat is this guy worth his salt?
Schrodinger's Michael.
Yeah.
It's a card that's both on the battlefield and in the graveyard at the same time.
Oh, it's Grist. Okay. No, it's not. It's the opposite. Either way, look, you guys know where to find us. You know what we're up to. I'm rushing a little bit because this episode, we've been talking about it for weeks, trying to make sure that we coordinate. And also because it's a pretty nutty episode. We've never had this happen before. We've never had this happen before in the time that I've been writing this column, that we've been doing this podcast. Never once have we had this happen before. And so what we're going to do right now, I'm going to play a little bit of music. We're going to get into it. We've never had anybody write in with a rebuttal. That's right. On August 13th, we published an article called Am I the Bolus? Salty for Your Losses. You can go check that out on edhrec.com. And we also did an episode of this very podcast covering it as well. I need to go get the episode for that. But it's mailbag number 4. So it's you know, from around August 13th. So go look for that. This time, we got a response from the people that person was writing about. So to refresh your memory, I'm just going to go through the original submission that kicked this whole thing off, and then we're going to go into the rebuttal. So the submission for Salty for Your Losses. Hi, Mike, longtime Commander player, new fan of your articles. I play with different pods, both in LGS and with longtime friends. We mostly play brackets 2 to 3 and have a variety of decks for any occasion. Not to toot my own horn, but I do find that I get a good number of wins, and people have cited my deck building and gameplay as tight and fair. When I see newer players or lower power decks, I try to match the vibe for a smoother game. Recently, I went on an annual trip with friends where we play Commander for days, which we all love. Oftentimes in this group, I end up the winner and have been known for making comebacks out of nowhere and playing all my outs. This year, I came with my deck still synergized, but a few at a lower power than before. Without going into much detail, in a variety of 4 and 5 player games, 6 players rotating in and out, I ended up winning 10 out of 30 that I played. Sometimes I lucked into turn 1 Soul Rings that put me ahead, but mostly it was a closer game of attrition or combat. Nothing crazy, no combos or tutors to my name. By the end of this trip, 2 of my friends got quite salty about my win rate and asked for me to change my decks to match their level. When I asked them what they thought I should do, they didn't have any specifics in mind. Aside from a handful of cards they cited, like a few extra turn cards and Reflector Mage that I cloned in my Satya Aetherflux Genius deck, which are easy swaps, they admitted that my deck building was good and not even pricey. They listed many of my decks that they said were fine, and they couldn't give me specifics about what I should do otherwise, and said it was up to me. I compared my list to theirs and saw that they were using powerful cards and strategies that, at the very least, equaled my own. I did suggest before the trip even started that they should run more removal, since they kept dying to onboard threats with hands full of protection spells, but they don't want to change what they're doing. When I asked my other friend about it later, they didn't think I was doing anything wrong. They thought my decks were on the same level, more or less, as everyone else. That I played fairly with no cheese, and that often I outplayed these salty players, which is why I won. One of them suggested I sandbag more to allow the salties to win, but that seems like it would cheapen everyone's experience to me if I'm not playing authentically. I'm not sure how to power down when most players I know, including myself, see this primarily as a gameplay issue. How can I help my salty friends see what the other players see and get their game up? Or is that not a good approach either? Am I the bolus if I more or less say the same instead of relenting to salt? This seems like a lot of text, so I should stop now. Thank you sincerely, forever the hegemon. Now, if you listened to this episode or read the column, you know that like how we fell on this was like this, that win rate is on par, just slightly above average. You know, that win rate is about what? 33%.
Yep.
Which is, you know,
1 in 3,
which is fine. You know, that's not a crazy win rate, but it's better than most. If you assume everybody's doing at least 25, like, yeah, sure. But there is an element of like, okay, you should run more removal. Like, that's good advice. But at the same time, it is very much like get good scrub. You don't feel like sandbagging. That's fair. You know, pull your punches in your deck building, but still try to outplay and give them no reason to look at your decks and think that the decks are the problem. Right. That's where we landed. So on August 24th, I received an email that prepared me for a follow up in September. Hi there. A friend told me to listen to the most recent episode because it sounded similar to a story I had told him about my playgroup's last retreat. When he told me the submitter's anonymous name, I knew immediately it was our friend. I almost said his name. We throw around hegemon a lot. Who else does that? So I think they clocked this guy.
I like to think that his name actually is hegemon.
Forever the hegemon. Yeah. I'm writing you to say that we, the salties, and the rest of the group are brewing up our retort. Like a blue player with two blue held up, we have a response. We believe that the situation has been grossly misrepresented and seek to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help us, Ugin. Please stay tuned for what we have. Sincerely, the Salties, and then they sign their name. And then on September 3rd, they finally sent it through. Now, here's the thing. We're doing this because it's a submission and it's interesting and it's most definitely a messy thing to do, which I'm acknowledging here. I'm going to say this immediately. This is messy. We are airing things out for a playgroup. This is messy. The end goal, however,
is to get views.
We solve problems and make sure that we're still friends in the end. Come on, you guys.
I'll be direct and real and say, like, yeah, that's great that we're probably going to get a nice little spike of views over this, but it is more, again, solving the problem. We are the three of us are here as like unofficial referees, right? We're here to be judges on this whole thing and to be like, this is what we interpreted from both accounts. Here's how we solve the problem. But I want to get ahead of this by saying that this should begin between you guys. So if you see yourself in one of the submissions and you're correct, you know, maybe you're not, who knows? I haven't checked to make sure that these guys are correct, but I think they nailed it with the hegemon thing. So I'm going ahead with the salties being like they know. And they also talked about a retreat.
It would be incredible if they tricked you. I do want you to know that.
It would be. The thing is, it's like, how I think they did nail it considering, like, I want to believe it.
Yeah. But
who else is called the hegemon? And how many people are going on commander retreats that they do regularly that they refer to one of our retreats? It's a whole thing. So I think I find some credibility here. And you know what? If it's fake, then congratulations, you win. Question mark, whatever. Point is, I'm just going to say that the Salties sent this in. I would love for you guys to discuss amongst yourselves and for you to work things out together. But we are going to add some commentary here, and hopefully that will assist you in getting to a place where everybody's happy. So here we go. We're diving in.
Context matters.
Better believe it.
F*** you, Solani. Sorry, Ken. Here we go. Okay. From the Salties. Hi there. Sorry it took a while to get this to you. Our response is as follows. It's the Salties reporting. I will note that I haven't read this yet. I'm choosing to read this live. It's the Salties reporting for duty. We are the two players mentioned in Mailbag 4. We felt some important context was missing. Solani. And after discussing with the other players in the pod, we wanted to share our perspective and some additional details. Why'd I say details? I never say details. Additional details. Here we go. Every year, we all set time aside from family, loved ones, and work to get together for this week-long magic retreat with our friends. That's so sweet. I love that already. We look forward to it all year and do so much work to make it special, even creating annual merch. It's a time for bonding, friendship, and fun for us all. The retreat isn't a place for us to pit our magic skills against each other. We have F&Ms for that. It's a space for us to unwind, let loose, and play a game we all love. We want to begin with stating that we believe the Hegemon builds incredible decks. There's no doubt about that. But when his decks don't align with the rest of the pod's power level, it impacts the fun for the rest of us. There is a big difference between a deck technically qualifying as Bracket 3, his favorite defense, by the way, and consciously lowering the power of decks to maintain the power level we are aiming for in our pod. While our decks have extremely even win rates, 13-16% for five of us, the Hegemon's decks, including games where he didn't pilot them, won 43% of our games. In fact, another member of our pod played his decks this year and won every single game he played with them. On the other hand, when the Hegemon has played with our decks, he hasn't won. Furthermore, we feel like an important part of healthy Commander games is respecting each other's time. This was one of our primary complaints that we directly discussed with the Hegemon. More often than not, his turns have caused people to get up from the table and disengage, especially in the 5 and 6 player games. We can appreciate that this is him, quote, playing optimally, but the results in the game slowing to a crawl. Players have even scooped during his turn, something we don't like doing and try to avoid because his plays take so much time even when he is far ahead in the game. The rest of us consciously try to play more quickly to keep games moving, especially in the larger games. Despite us raising this concern, he has mentioned that he sees any adjustment of his playstyle as sandbagging. We do not wish for him to sandbag cards or pull his punches, but just to keep the game moving forward rather than spending literal minutes trying to determine the correct play. Finally, there are many formats for competitive play in Magic where winning at all costs is the expectation. Everyone in our playgroup plays these formats except for him. We believe that the Hegemon's lack of interest in other formats could be playing a role in some of our issues. Commander is his only competitive outlet for Magic. From our perspective, he approaches every Commander game as a competitive test while the rest of us are looking for a more relaxed, varied experience when we play EDH. This is a shared frustration and it's not a short-term streak. However, we truly value his friendship and wish to continue to play together. This is the entire reason we tried to address the issues up front. We appreciate you taking the time to hear us out and hope you can help us manage this tricky situation. Sincerely, the Salties. Wow. I mean, wow. Fantastic work here. This is so many wrinkles. So much interest, so much intrigue. Makes me wonder if I should shut the column down. Because we're literally getting only one side every goddamn time.
Sorry, wow, Ken.
You've discovered the fundamental flaw of Am I the Asshole?
Yeah, buddy, I know. Tell me about it more. Tell me about it like what's his face.
Context? What? Who is she?
Every goddamn time that somebody disagrees with me in the fucking comments, sorry, Ken, of the EDHREC articles, you gotta deal with somebody being like, yeah, but you're only getting one side. I'm like, yeah, I know. I can't. It's anonymous. Joke.
That's showbiz,
That's
baby.
That's the whole deal. That's how it goes. I don't know what to tell you. I want to get both sides, but I'm not going to ask, you know, for the person you're complaining about, get in touch with them and let me hear about it.
Yeah.
And CC me. Why don't you? But look, if that's something you want to do, more than happy to put in some effort into doing like an Am I the Referee? You know what I mean? Like, am I?
He's great with marriages, too.
Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today to draw 7 cards and mulligan. Anyway, there's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah.
It's very interesting.
Wrinkles.
I don't know what to do with this because it feels it feels like this this could be sent to Hedge, and that should be it, frankly, because this is all black and white. Just like, here's what we do. This is what it's for. Here's what we suspect is the issue. Here's what keeps happening. The decks are too strong and we're frustrated, but we still love you and we want to keep doing this with you. So we want to try to make it work. And I think that that's so important. I'm going to say it. This might have been the perfect way to approach this if it were just one-on-one. If you guys were having this conversation, you said exactly this, like an intervention, it would have, I mean, I would hope it would move Hedge to see the point and make the changes. I think that this is a great way to put together a rebuttal. And it does say that's from two of the people, but they say that they've discussed with the rest of the pod and are relaying more information that way. So who wants to go first? Morgan, Michael, who wants to I think I heard Michael breathing in to talk.
Like, what you just said doesn't align at all with our stated goal of making this messy to get views.
Yeah. You kind of screwed that one up, buddy.
You're right.
Mike, you're the bolus. How does that
what do you mean? Their message could have been worse. That's true. I thought it was expecting, be messy.
I'm not going to lie. I was expecting some heat. So I really do want to take a moment for my end to say, I think this is something that you would want to ship to your friend, especially if there are a large percentage of your play group is thinking the same thing and y'all have discussed it, except for with the person that you think is causing the issue, right? Like, there's a lot of wrinkles in here. I think the timing for me is probably the biggest one, because personally, I don't mind if you're winning a bunch, if you're winning somewhat quickly and you're getting to where you need to go somewhat quickly so that we can start another game. We have that extra bit of variance in there from the next game and we're going again. Everybody has a chance. It is really hard when you have this high power deck and you're taking purportedly minutes for optimal play with a powerful deck like that. It almost seems like you're kind of testing it out on everybody. And especially in 5 to 6 player games, girl, I'm asleep by the time you get back to me. I've taken a nap. Right, girl, Michael?
But here's the thing. It specifically says,
"Girl, I'm asleep."
In the rebuttal, in our primary document A from our primary source A, they say that this was one of the primary complaints that we directly discussed with the hegemon. They have directly discussed that he was taking too much time, and it didn't work. So now we're here, and it's getting messy, right?
I mean, yeah, I think our involvement is the messy part. So here's the thing. There was nothing about the time stuff in the first submission.
That is true.
The time stuff didn't come up. No, that should be document A, really.
Yeah.
The original submission, hegemon submission.
Document zero.
Correct.
We got to stop with these numbers. Okay, so the idea is the problem to Hedge is that I keep winning. And that is so hard for these players. They get salty about it. And they're telling me to power down my decks, which they pointed out to a couple cards. And that's fair. I could swap those out, no problem. But I will say that, like, the evidence here in this rebuttal is kind of staggering, right? If they're saying their win rate is as low as 13 to 16 among the five of them, and then one person is at 43%. That's
one person's decks are at 43%.
One person's decks. That's right. That's right. It's not necessarily Hedges himself, but the not winning with the decks that aren't his also, you know, speaks to it a little bit.
I mean, it can be confusing to use someone else's deck, especially if they don't tell you how it works. Here's the thing I wish I knew.
Yeah.
I wish I knew if anyone else playing the hegemon's decks also took 5 minutes to do it.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. Because I want to know if it's because of the deck.
Like, is it just a super complex Satya deck?
Or is it because of the player?
Yeah.
Well, okay, so here's the thing. The complaint about the time only really extends to Hedge, and it's because it seems like he's in the tank. It seems like the problem here is that everybody's play speed is good, except for Hegemon, who goes on to be like, hold on a second. I'm trying to play optimally. And that's just not what their vibe is. I think what they want is more. I think they might even give a pass to like the stronger decks if it meant that he was playing quicker. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. it feels like that might even be up for discussion, but not so much of a pass that he could run a bracket like three flirting with floor, you know. And by the way, hot take, by the way, just going to say this before we move on. Bracket three is just a seven. Bracket three is the new seven. It's the exact same fucking thing. Sorry, Ken.
Sorry, Ken.
It's the same fucking thing. Sorry, Ken. I listened to Josh Lee Kwai talk about all of his decks in on the command zone. And he kept going, it's a bracket three, or like technically it's a bracket two, but it plays like a three. It's all the same thing. It's a seven again. Five is CDH. One is a pile of cards. Three is a seven. Everybody wants it to be a seven. If you're not playing game changers, then technically you're a two. If you're spending time on Scryfall using a deck building app, like a website like Architect or Moxfield, and you're putting a lot of time in it and you're making it like synergistic and it works. Nah. That's a three. Even without game changers, and a three can be powerful. This high three, not really a four because it doesn't have more than three game changers. I'm not buying it. This system needs more work. Don't know how we get there, but more conversation is needed.
Mike, you want a hotter take?
Okay.
This problem is not solved because nobody wants to solve it. That's the real reason. Nobody actually wants to solve the problem of my deck as a seven. You know why? Because everyone wants to be able to play all of their decks in as many circumstances as possible, regardless of how it makes other people feel. Mm-hmm. If you built something, if you spent a lot of time and put it into that, you were in the tank, you were putting stuff in Moxfield, you were putting stuff in Architect, you went out and bought the cards and then hopefully sleeved those cards. And then you put them up into a pod and you want to play with it. No one's going to want to intentionally give information about their deck that stops them from playing it with other people. Even if it is strong, even if it is maybe even if it's weaker than the other ones. Nobody there is no actual will to solve this problem because the actual harm done by a game where you stomp someone doesn't really matter. Being prevented from playing in the first place sucks way more.
I agree with you. But the timing is still just like the biggest thing. Like that's the first thing I thought of when I read this, that it sounds like if people are walking out on the game, scooping up the game, because dude, Mike, come on. Mm-hmm. It's, and I mean, during a Magic game, 3 minutes is a long time, right? Like, it's not when you're in the tank, though, because like that, your mind is going the whole time, right? Like, you're making connections, we're doing math, we have spreadsheets happening, like, depending on the type of deck you're playing, like, all mental, right?
Mm.
Meanwhile, girl, I'm asleep. I'm taking a nap, okay? I'm taking a nap after maybe, like, minute two, depending on the deck.
Mm.
So I think that that's really what we have to look at here in terms of the timing, because that, and that sounds like what they're complaining about the most when it comes to this, because, again, Michael, I agree with you. I don't mind getting stomped a little bit if we can like play some more games. Like, we're getting to those other games quicker, sooner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's happening. I'm not waiting for you to eventually get to the win.
I will say, if I get stomped and I didn't like that, I find another pod. I have no problem saying, well, that was not my speed and I'm going to get out of here. And hopefully I find a pod that's more my speed. But the thing about the bracket system is that you want to get to a point where you are kind of matching the vibe, and I think it's more of a vibe thing than a power level thing, and that is where this whole thing falters. It's more of a discussion that people should be having rather than being like, hey, you know, do you have game changers in your deck? I do have game changers in my deck. Oh, okay, well, which ones are they? Well, I have one game changer, so technically it's bracket three, and it's Urza because I'm playing an artifact deck that makes a bunch of trinkets and I want to use it to tap for things. Oh, okay, well, that's powerful, but like, it's one guy, you get rid of the guy, it's done.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm bracket three, but my things are like ad nauseum, fierce guardianship, and fucking deflecting swat.
Sorry, Ken.
Then you're looking at a different kind of vibe. It's not just game changers, it's the vibe of those game changers.
And I'm not even fully convinced that that's something that you could easily intuit just from a conversation. You know, I think it's something that happens. I think it's a push and pull. That's sort of a natural reaction to what you play with the people that you play with. Mm. And eventually your reputation will precede you and you'll be known for doing whatever it is that you do. right?
I'll say that's a blessing of about doing content creation stuff and playing Magic and people recognizing you a little bit more, is that I've talked about loving engines so much already that people will be like, is this one of the pieces now? You know what I mean? I'll be like, I love having an engine. I love having a bunch of pieces, like 6-7 pieces, and they do a thing. And then they'll be like, is this one of them? And I'll be like, yep. And they'll be like, okay, Path. And I'm like, ah, fair. I shouldn't have said anything. You know, and that's, but at least they know. And I don't really like, that's a little upside to doing this whole shindig, is that like, okay, cool. I don't really have to explain myself and what kind of thing I really want to do. I'm not really attacking. I like to be on the throne doing a bunch of stuff. Death by a Thousand Cuts, Aristocrats, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People know that about me, which is so fun. Thank God. So nice. Thank you so much, by the way, everybody.
Morgan, there's a question I want to ask you specifically, because I want your input on this.
Yeah.
You've been talking about, and they've been talking, I guess, but you've been using their words to say your words. The words have been that it's mostly about the hegemon in the tank waiting for 5 or 6 minutes before making, quote, the optimal play.
Right.
My devil's advocate to this whole scenario is that the hegemon could interpret this as basically seeing all of the problems go away if I suck a little bit more. What is your response to that?
I think that's a part of the vibe check. I was literally just thinking about how I've played with people, and I will admit to being one of those people, not very often. This has happened exactly once or twice, mind you, where I think Rachel Weeks talked about this a long, long, long time ago, about like kind of withholding the win or withholding the optimal play because of the vibe. I don't, like, you know, maybe it's going to take another couple turns, but like, I think based on the vibe, make some folks mad.
Yeah.
If I do this right now, whatever it is.
Fair.
Right.
Yeah. Like a 3-hour game, throw down a board wipe.
Yeah. Or I've talked about, is this a grave pact game?
Yeah. Like exactly. Saying, I think I need to suck a little and I've said this before, probably, I don't think it's a horrible thing. I think it's an inherently bad thing. Maybe it's not a good thing, but maybe it's okay to do it. Maybe like it's okay to do it now and then because of the vibe. The vibe does matter a lot in Commander.
It does. I'll say counterpoint to that.
Yep.
It's not, do I suck more? How do I get better at making these plays optimally quicker? You know what I mean? How do I improve? You know what I mean? Yes, you're looking to play optimally. Well, part of playing optimally is knowing your lines, knowing what's going on, and like being able to assess that. Mind you, these, and I'm going to say a word, and I'm using it in jest. I don't want anybody offended here. These fucking psychos, sorry, Ken, are playing 5-6 player games willingly, constantly.
Yeah.
I think that is part of it.
25 times. Did they say 25 times they did this? Like, girl, you have to pay me money. Fair, maybe.
Hegemon said that they rotate out in and out for some of it, right? They're not constantly doing 5-6, but it does seem like there's a lot of 5-player, 6-player games here.
At 6, I would just do 2 pods of 3.
If I had a 6-player commander, would you all play a 6-player commander game?
I would, but it would have to be everybody's playing a brain off deck. Everybody's playing a deck that goes slam, 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 or we play a three player two headed giant game, or we play a variant like Kingdoms or a Star or whatever. You know,
we just settle it in Smash.
Honestly, at that point, pull out Jackbox games and we're playing a different thing altogether. 2 pods of 3 is forgivable, but I will say, man, play a 4-player game or a 5-player game, have 2 people sit out and work on their decks, or 1 person sit out and like make some changes or like take care of ordering pizza or whatever.
I think good thing to add to that too, that would potentially help with this is that you get a chance to see other people play their decks like while you're not playing and like fully in the tank.
Hell yeah.
You can see moves that people, especially if this is a play group and y'all go out and do this, even if it's once a year, right? You know, Mike's bringing his dorky little Isolde deck or his Aristocrats deck, and I'm going to see how he plays.
I'm sorry, my what?
While this jackass Mike is
playing his stupid
this
deck.
Flipping guy.
The most expensive thing I own, I think, is this deck.
I think that's a good, I love doing that. I think it's a good brain break too, because just as a spectator, you can kind of see. It almost kind of feels like cheating, right? You're in the back seat and I get to see like how you're playing and how you're going to play against, you know, this deck and that deck. But if we're stuck in 6-player games, of course it's going to sound like hell.
I'd be so tempted to be like, Like I would, I'm the type of person that straight up judge people's plays when I'm not, when I'm in the games, I judge people's plays. I'm like, oh, shit, this person has lethal on board.
You can't. Michael's the bolus. Okay.
Here's the thing. We have an example of this working out really nicely, which is Loading Ready Run does pre-releases on all the time. And they have someone as the like commentator and judge person. Well, not the judge, but like they're just like a helper and person to facilitate discussion and all that stuff and read the
secretary.
Yeah, sure. They just have somebody there to be a commentator or whatever. And it's fun because they get to chat with people and say, oh, that's neat. That's really cool. Haven't seen that. Like, you know, I think that that like a little hype person wouldn't be the worst thing to have at a table. It'll be like, you know, I'm going to play this and then I'm going to play this. And then you got somebody going, oh, that's sick. I didn't even think of that.
You need color like, commentators. You need a Sunny Day. You need a Vinny the Gooch. Wait, can I say that on air?
No.
That was his name.
Sorry,
in backyard.
Ken.
That was his name in backyard baseball. That was really the name of the color commentator.
I'm going to be real. I don't know what the f*** you're talking about. Sorry, Ken. You can say Gooch all you want. I'm not. I don't want to censor Gooch. Gooch is funny. So is f***. Sorry, Ken. But it's one of the ones we can't say.
Where
There's
was
a bunch
I?
Of other fun ones we can't say, and I'm not going to say them. Like, oh, that one we can't say. Sorry, Ken.
You need people like that, honestly. Although I've got this problem where it's like I see Lethal on board and I'm like, I'm playing around it, but it's very clear that the other person doesn't know that they have Lethal on board. Like, here's a specific example. I was at, where was it?
Before you get too far, I do have to clarify. I said the C word and no other word there. Okay, carry on.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because
it's going to be bleeped and I don't want anybody to be like, what word did he think was fun? The C word. I watch a lot of Drag Race. It's fun. All right, go ahead.
Are they Australian? Anyway, I was
down under, baby.
I was at Furry Migration. I was playing a deck against Anzrag the Quake Mole. You know this one, right? It's the one where you get blocked, it untaps everything, it goes again.
Another combat.
My girlfriend was playing my Zask deck, which is a landfall deck, and it has constant mists in it. Which I believe be a game changer, but it isn't.
Yes.
Constant Mists is a buyback fog where all you have to do is sacrifice a land to buy it back. And because Zask lets you play lands from the graveyard, it's effectively free to always cast.
Yeah.
So Anzrag attacks. She casts Constant Mists. The Anzrag player has a Xur'Tah Druid. So all the Anzrag player has to do is activate the must block ability. There's a fog in play, so combat damage doesn't happen. And the Xur'Tah Druid keeps untapping, and it always taps for one damage. I just could not keep that inside. I was like, oh, if you do this, your Xur'Tah Druid is going to kill everybody. And at the time, I was like, why did I say that? They did not realize that that combo was there. I was just like, ugh.
I see what you're saying. Yeah,
that sort Xur'Tah of Druid would drive is, me up the wall. Go on.
Xur'Tah Druid is one of my early favorites back in the day when I was like getting back into things. I always thought the design was really cool. It's a Gruul 1/1. So 1/1 for red, green, human druid. Tap for green mana. So you add green. And then whenever you tap Xur'Tah Druid for mana, it deals one damage to each opponent. So yeah, as long as you're like making mana with it, you're going to make that combo happen.
Yeah, but Anzrag untaps everything when blocked.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're right. It is going to happen. It's just really cool to see that card come up. And I was like, he didn't really just say that one. Is that the one he meant to say? It's just fun for that card to come up. We have digressed too far. We've got to get back on track.
Yeah.
Man, the Salty's rebuttal was just very good. I think that it's a great rebuttal. I think that there's an element here of... we have to address the second thing that they, one of the things that they brought up that we haven't talked about here, which is there are many formats in Magic for competitive play and winning at all costs is the expectation. Everyone in our group plays these formats except for him. And we believe that Hegemon's lack of interest in other formats could be playing a role in some of our issues as Commander is his only competitive outlet for Magic. So what do you guys think about that?
I'm confused as like how that's worded. Michael, do you
okay.
Is that phrase in a way that you can like understand that a little bit better than I can?
The question was about whether or not it's a competitive. Sorry, just ask it again.
So I'm gonna phrase it in a way like, so all the other players in the group play another format of Magic where it's competitive, whether it's Legacy or Modern.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I wasn't
or whatever.
Certain.
Or Tiny
okay.
Leaders.
Tiny Leaders. That's right. Oathbreaker. Hegemon has no interest in these other formats. Hegemon is only into Commander, and they think that they get their competitive streak out in these other formats, whereas Hegemon is only in this.
Got it.
And they use Commander for competitive play as well, and that is rubbing off here. So here's what I have to say about that. I don't want to shut it down completely, because it could be, maybe, you know, see if Hedge is at all interested in doing a draft or a sealed thing once in a while and see how he takes to that. But I'll say, in my experience, people who are competitive are competitive. Like,
it don't matter.
I don't know how else to put it. It don't matter. I'll see somebody who LSV, for example, constantly playing draft and all these like Modern, Standard, all this stuff. He's playing every competitive format, and he started playing some Commander, but he'll only want to play Commander for competitive reasons. And that's why he plays dual Commander. And that's that. If LSV were playing four-player Commander, I can guarantee that LSV would not find any other way than to play optimally. And that also comes from the fact that LSV is like a machine. The guy is so fast, his gut gives him the correct response almost every goddamn time. He's too good, and it's almost like that's what this playgroup wants from Hedge. It's like, if you're going to play optimally, at least do it fast.
Just get LSV in the playgroup. It'll solve the problems.
Yeah.
Easy.
The two solutions, either the Hegemon sucks more or he becomes LSV. Like
Hall of Famer. Yeah. I'll say, I don't want to poo-poo this idea because I don't see it that way. But I think that it's like, it's possible. Like maybe there's some value to bring in like, you know, a couple Modern decks to throw down before and be like, okay, guys, we're playing Modern right now and we're going to do competitive shit. And then, sorry, Ken. And then we're going to get into some Commander. And that's part of the whole deal. Whereas the thing is, some people just don't care. They don't care about these other formats. Commander is way more interesting. And yeah, they're competitive, and there's no problem with that. You know what I mean? I don't see this as an issue of like wanting to play competitively or whatever. I do see this more of an issue of not meeting the playgroup's expectation of vibe.
The vibe check, man.
And that's where we falter. I would say if Hegemon, I could guarantee in this group that
Mike
if Hegemon,
sat up in his chair. I shifted.
I shifted. I changed my. I put. I'm on my other.
You shifted
now.
Forward.
Well, yeah, because my chair moved. All right. My point is, if this playgroup were to be like, hey, this game, we're all competitive. We're all going for the win at any cost. We're playing optimally. And they expect that from him, and he's going to be like, all right, it's my time to shine. He'll get in the tank, but they're all going to be like, this is what we're doing. This is our compromise. This is how we're dealing with this. You know, but the rest of the games that are like casual, everybody's shooting from the hip. Everybody's just going for it, just doing their thing and like trying to make it happen. Maybe that could help, but I just don't see it that way. I think this is a vibe thing. I think this is Hedge is you need to meet them where they're at because they're the majority and they like you and you like them and you want to be part of this. But don't rebuild your entire personality. I think pull some punches into deck building, you know, like make some effort there. And I think that when you're presenting somebody with a deck, when they're trying to ask you to meet their vibe, and then they go, well, I don't know, like these, for example. And then you say, well, see, they only have this and then nothing else to say. It's like, yeah, because they're exhausted by this. I think there's an exasperation element to it as well.
Here's my potentially incorrect analysis.
Okay.
If the Hegemon wins most of the time with his decks and then other people win most of the time with the Hegemon's decks.
Yeah.
Assuming that there isn't also a gigantic time problem when the people are mm-hmm. playing the Hegemon's decks, then mm-hmm. I have to assume that the board states are not all that complicated. And firing from the hip is a reasonable heuristic of the actual correct decision maybe 90 to 95% of the time.
Okay.
I think there's probably a good chance that firing from the hip with your intuition is probably as good as just doing what you were going to do after a bunch of thought anyway. And you're spending a lot of brain power on culling game trees that don't really matter.
And that's the thing, right? Like, man, it sucks to go down this rabbit hole, but we're going to do it really briefly. Michael just said it doesn't matter, which it doesn't. Technically, there's an ephemerality to this. It doesn't matter.
The only thing that matters is the context.
Shut up, Michael. So here's the thing. I know he's right, but it's annoying. Okay, so it doesn't matter. But at the same time, this is the thing that we spend a lot of time thinking about, working on. These guys spend all year planning this event. This is important. So it does matter. It matters a lot. And you're excited to do this. And if winning matters to you, then winning matters. You know what I mean? It's important. And I guess it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Like, you know, at a certain point, you know, what do you choose? The love of your life or Magic the Gathering, you know? And sometimes they're the same thing.
Thalia.
But Thalia. Okay. I'll just say, like, It's fair to kind of hand wave it and be like, look, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. And yeah, we're playing a game and, you know, we could be a little hand wavy about things, but this does matter. Like, we're spending over an hour together talking about this game because it matters to enough people that we're putting this out there for people who expect it from us, who want it from us, who took the time out of their day to write to us, whose friends also took the time out of their day to write to us again. It matters. So like it does matter, but it also doesn't matter. You know what I mean? There's like, the games will come and go, and that's fair, but this, it matters. And it's so crazy to me that like the whole premise of the column and the podcast is just to like get to a place where we can all be on the same or similar page, so we can all be happy with the game that we've agreed to play, because it's gotten so complex and far reaching. And to come at it from like a, it doesn't matter, which can be correct, it makes it even more complicated, right? So taking this for what it is, I hope you find it in you to allow yourself to shoot more from the hip. I think that if you're listening to this, which I hope you are, shooting from the hip might be, like Michael made an excellent point, shoot from the hip. If other people are playing and they're not having that trouble with the timing thing, shoot from the hip. Maybe they're getting more grace for taking more time because they're playing somebody else's deck, right? That's also a possibility. We don't know how long the turns are. We don't have the full story, but we got a broader picture here. Power down your decks in more meaningful ways. Really do your best. And if that doesn't feel right, then it doesn't feel right. But I will say, any form of speeding yourself up or not playing optimally, feeling like sandbagging, then you're playing a competitive format. And in that case, play competitively with people who want to play competitively. This does not sound like they want that. This group has come to somewhat of a consensus. Like, you know, at the very least, they have a few people on board saying, we'd like it if you met us where we're at, because we spend all this time planning and working on all this. And we'd like to have like a great time. And we love you. We care about you enough to like share an entire week with you playing this game. And, you know, you don't want to be that guy that like is met with a bit of an eye roll when they got brought up. You know what I mean? You want to get invited back. You want to have a good time. And that's not to say that you wouldn't be welcome in another playgroup that meets you on your level. It's not to say that this entire playgroup can't meet you on your level. It just means that when it comes to the compromises that you guys are all making, you make sure that you are making that effort to keep connecting, keep playing, and keep the spirit of what is this, the gathering. This is literally, that's what's so beautiful about these two submissions, is that it comes from a place of like, it is the gathering. It's literally, it's not a Magic Con. You guys are just like, we love each other. We're pals. We want to hang out. We love this game. We're so excited to do this. We make merch, you know, let's get crazy and play games for an entire week. The gathering. That's what this game is doing for you. This game is bringing friends into your life, for keeping them around. I love this. And I would hate to see you lose it. And I would hate to see anybody lose this kind of thing. Because like on some level, I'm a little bit jealous, dude. This fucking rips. Sorry, Ken. It rules so fucking hard. Sorry again. I love this. I love this so much. And I really, really hope that you guys can get to a point where you're all on the same page about it all completely. I think it's easier said than done, but if you're being conscious about it and making that effort, man, it's going to improve so much, you know, on both sides. So make the call to be like, we're doing the competitive game where Hedge can be in the tank. You know what I mean? Let's make that. How about we do one game before lunch where everybody's taking turns that are less than 30 seconds long? You know what? Put a chess timer on the board. Do something. Really highlight the issue in a way that, okay, we're trying our best to be within this. Come to a decision together and keep to it. Really work hard on this. This is a relationship after all. This is like your friendship. It all comes down to like paying attention to what everybody else wants, what you want, and seeing where you guys can meet in the middle because you care about each other. And that's what this is. So I'm really glad they wrote in. I'm really stoked.
And he's great with marriages too.
Yeah.
This is the kind of therapy we all
twice
need.
Twice divorced.
In the end, the vibe check is real. Make sure to pay attention to the vibes with your playgroup, whether you've been playing with them for 5 minutes or 5 years. There's always that's what makes Commander so awesome, is that you can do these new little mini formats or these handicaps and keep things fun and fresh, and also make it to where the person who maybe has the higher skill level, has the higher power deck, has a chance to do something different without being fully called out. Like Mike said, I think it's really great. I think y'all are doing a great job. I think that, you know, obviously something y'all communicate together instead of the gossip column, right? But we're really happy you did it. I think we provided pretty much everything that we could for these folks, and I'm feeling really good about it, y'all.
I feel good too.
There is one more thing that we do have to provide for them though, Morgan.
Oh,
the archenemy variant?
That's a verdict.
Uh-oh. Oh, you're right. We do.
And okay. As this being our first rebuttal.
Oh, yeah.
I think we should not judge whether or not the Salties are the bolus, but whether or not the Hegemon is.
With this new information, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do they win on appeal?
Yes.
Okay. So, okay, Morgan's voting already.
Yep.
So you're ready to call the Hegemon bolus.
I am. I don't like it. But I think that there's some more information that we got from these folks and the rest of your play group that makes it to be like it's a bit of bolus behavior. I think when a lot of folks are gunning after you and they think that you're doing some stuff and maybe you don't say the whole picture because, you know, we're all biased against ourselves, right?
Exactly.
There's more here than we thought initially. I think initially we were even talking about like it sounds like there's probably some other stuff going on. And I'm really glad we got to see some of that insight. And you're the bolus, but I don't think you have to be. I think out of a lot of the stuff that we've done, like a lot of these folks, you can just tell like maybe don't have the correct answer, aren't looking for the right answer. Sure. I think you're looking for it. I mean, I think that's why you went to Mike, right? Longtime Commander player, new to the column. I mean, that's kind of like asking for help, right? Like, okay, you know what? Maybe I want this guy to talk about this. And you know what? Hey, your friends do too. Your friends love you. You love your friends. This is a great situation that I'm, like I said, feeling really good about.
Yeah.
The bolus, but you don't have to be.
Exactly. I agree. I think that when we talked about the variants and stuff, that might be a way to shore up some things. And I think that we offered some insights here. But ultimately, all in all, I think what's really doing it for me in the flip of my verdict, because I think I'm also leaning bolus, but only in the way that we have to be so binary about it, right? It's bolus or not. And unfortunately, you're leaning more towards bolus after this rebuttal, Hedge. I'd say because of the obfuscation of the time taking being an issue and not really bringing that up, and that seemed to be more of the problem with the group, I think that that's more important to me than anything. And frankly, I would say less bolus and more like somebody who lost their way. You know what I mean? Like, or not necessarily somebody who, like, I don't want to call you a Domri because of it, because Domri's an idiot, but like there's another character, you know, somebody who redeemed themselves later on, or, you know, was initially expected to be a villain and then turned out to be like, oh, you know, I'm figuring it out.
Well, before you cast your vote, I'm still going to go with not the bolus.
Okay.
And here's why. What I think here we have, I'm not sure it's a failure to communicate. I think there has been communication, but I think that the two sides, if you even want to call them that, have been kind of talking past one another, you know? Like, I can see how you could say, oh, you take way too much time. And then from your perspective, it looks like you haven't been taking any time at all, because when you're in the tank, you are doing something. You're doing something. Like, you're mentally thinking through your lines. You're mentally thinking through what play is the most optimal one. And it's really easy to internalize that and fail to understand the gravity of the situation, even if you're told multiple times, right? Because even then it'll be like, oh, maybe I'll play a little bit faster. And then it feels fast to you, but it probably still isn't. And they're just polite enough not to bring it up in the middle of the game, right? They should be like, hey, you're taking way too long. Do a move. And then in the middle of that, you'd be like, well, I'm still thinking. Shut up. You know, that's rude. That's sort of the problem, is you can't realistically interrupt someone in the middle of it without both sides seeming like jerks, when in reality they should just do it and then realize that this is a thing and then be okay with it. I think that the hegemon has not risen to the level of intentional malice that would be becoming of a bolus verdict. And if that sways your vote, Mike, that it sways your vote. If it doesn't, that it doesn't. But I do want you to consider that before we get to a final decision.
Hey there, Bull fans. This is Ken from the editing desk. So at this point, Mike has totally f***ed off. Sorry, Ken. And Morgan and Solani are only just realizing it, and they continue to yap for 7 minutes. Obviously, this is going to get cut, but maybe you want to actually hear what they said? Well, then maybe you should start bugging us for a Patreon. You know what I'm saying? Anyways, let's get back to it.
Release the tapes.
There we go.
Release the tapes.
If that's something you're interested in,
tapes.
Email us at amithebolus@gmail.com, at amithebolcast on Blue Sky, etc. Or you can keep this last part in.
Did I change your mind, though?
Yeah,
that was his thesis. Mind, you f***ing oh, sorry, Ken. It changed. Of course it did. Of course it did.
So now you have to make a decision.
Yeah, this
I hate
is your
it.
Call now.
I don't like making this. Yeah, I know.
It was so perfect. It was going to be Morgan saying bolus, me saying not bolus, and then you'd have to think for six goddamn minutes.
I'd already said that I'm leaning towards bolus because of the obfuscation of the time thing that was not brought up at all. Which seems like the bigger issue.
Yep.
You know? Now, here's the thing. We're all complicated.
So full of context.
God damn it, man. It's just
he's gonna kill me by the end of this recording.
No.
So here's the thing. I think I don't like that you didn't bring up the time concerns that were brought up, and that playing optimally was being in the tank and people scooped in as a result of you spending too much time. Maybe some of these wins are from scooping because you're taking too much time. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like that part. And as much as I appreciate Solani's plea, and it makes a lot of sense, and I totally agree with him. Not totally. I agree with him. I will say I'm 51% bolus, 49% not the bolus, and I just feel like that's just how it's gonna have to go because we have to deal in absolutes on this podcast.
But does this Benjamin change your mind?
Michael just rubbed his fingers together as if there was money in it, and he already owes me $20, so if there's no money in that hand right now, that's not gonna sway me nothing. No, you made a really good point, and I think that I easily see both sides of it. I just keep coming back to the fact that, like, I think not bringing up the part where the time thing is the biggest issue for me. I think that it comes off as, like, willingly obfuscating a big part of the issue to kind of make it so we would be like, hey, this is about win rates and not about what leads to that win rate and so on. I understand that, like, you know, the deck and stuff and whatever. I think that there's so much compromising to be done. There's a lot of discussing to be had. And you know what? I think that the effort here and the care, and I'm just going to go ahead and say not the bolus after all. I think Michael's completely right. They're making such an effort. It's honestly, I really hope that next year's retreat, you guys write us and you tell us about how much better it was, because you all made a difference. Not just, this isn't just on Hegemon's back. You all made the difference. Maybe you guys got like an arch enemy deck and you played a literal arch enemy game, four players only, for the love of God. But, you know, maybe a six player game where two players are the arch enemy with two separate arch enemy decks and the other four are against them. Who knows? Maybe that's an idea. But the point is,
throw Plane Chase in there.
Yeah, why not? Might as well do Chat Chaos Commander with Mr. Bevers. I will say
UrzasConfidant.com.
Hell yeah. That's a shout out. That's nice. I'll say not the bolus. I think I'm sticking with it because I think that there's so much that you guys can all do, and I hope you do it. I really, really hope that you reach a place of compromise and understanding that allows you all to be much happier with it and understand that, yes, it's about enjoying Magic, but it's also like, man, look, do you realize what you have? Do you realize what you have in this friend group? It's beautiful. It really is. A lot of people will talk about, you know, how hard it is to make friends and, you know, to keep them around, especially in this day and age where people are losing each other to like politics, to like brain rot on social media, to a whole bunch of reasons, like moving away, a whole bunch of stuff. You can lose friends to so much today, and you guys are still getting together, like six people, annual retreat for an entire week where you're just hanging out and enjoying each other and enjoying this game that you like. Find ways to celebrate each other's play styles. Find ways to celebrate each other in general.
Bless.
I would hate to find out that anybody from this group left and isn't coming back for another retreat. It would break my heart, honestly. I'm so invested. Where do you guys meet? Like, if I want to come. Sorry, Ken.
Send us some of that merch too.
Yeah.
Big fan of merch.
I'll take.
I'm serious. Like, send it to us. I'm legitimately serious.
It's honestly, it's so sick that you guys do this, and I can't get over. And I keep saying it. Like, this is beautiful. It really, really is. It's so cool. Sorry, Ken. I love it. And so I think on the basis of like the underlying vibe being one of wanting to be better with each other, for each other, is really what's powering it. And while everybody's got something to work on, and we have a case for Hegemon having the most to work on based on what we've got here, I still think that the playgroup can find a way to accommodate a little bit more. And as long as Hegemon is also making that reach across the aisle, you know? So that's it. That's what this episode could have been. So messy. I didn't read it beforehand, but really I'm so pleased with this rebuttal. I really, really had fun tonight. Yeah, this made my day. I'm going to go. I'm saying that I had a whole massage today that fixed up my back real nice, and this made my day. Hanging out with you guys and hearing you guys goof off while I was, you can censor this part, but while I was, that's not how you phrase it. While I was, anyway,
you don't from the,
yeah, that's a different scenario, but yeah,
no, that's what you guys thought I was doing.
Yeah,
either way,
Mike, you do not your.
God, we're gonna have to cut so much more now. We're not doing that. My point is. Today, this episode, one of the tops.
Yep.
And this submission, one of my favorites.
I feel like I just watched an episode of Bluey. It's just that sort of wholesome vibe.
I don't know what Bluey is.
How is that possible? Do you not have nephews or like
I have
nieces?
Niece and nephew, but I don't see them much.
Are they like kids?
They're little babies. They're little guys.
It's a good show.
About 2 years.
It's a good show.
What's it like, Blue's Clues, but bluer?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. Then I get it. That's fine. That'll do it for us. We already plugged ourselves, but Morgan is at Indigo Gentleman. Michael's at Games Freak SA, gamesfreaksa.info for all your Michael Solani needs. I've got a linktree/ Mike Carozza, MikeCarrozza. Thank you for listening. Keep submitting to amithebolus@gmail.com. Go back and listen to other episodes you haven't listened to, you're friggin' nuts, because I know you haven't, some of you. Go back and listen to that episode.
Send us that annual merch.
Yeah, honestly, I would like an update from you guys. The Salties or Hegemon, anybody from this group, I would love an update from you guys to find out more about what happens next year and how you guys figured it all out. I want you guys to stick around, stick together, and if I get disappointing news, I'd like to hear it anyway and give everybody an update. I think people are going to be invested in you guys as a playgroup. It's very nice.
Yep.
It's very sweet. And I think what you've done here is maybe kicked off the idea for a couple of people. I think that we're not going to be, you're not going to be the only retreat out there, you know, talking about what's going on.
Wisconsin Dells, very cheap in the winter. I just putting that out there.
Wisconsin cheap in the winter? Sign me up. Thanks again for submitting. Thanks for listening. I think that's it. Does anybody have anything else to say before we scoot the day?
Scoot the day.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go back in my mailbox. Be a mailbox gremlin again.
Get back in your mailbox.
I guess I'm just on these for mailboxes.
Get back in there, Michael.
Get back in there. All right. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
I feel like I'm getting shoved in a locker.
What was that? What's happening?
I feel like I'm getting shoved in a locker again.
There you. Okay. Bye. Did you say something?
What?
What?
I just. Huh?
Huh?